Hi, this is Mary Santora, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Elizabeth Seaman. Enjoy.
To the default setting, where we find out what makes you tick because we have ways of making you talk. I'm your host, Jess Falstick, and today we have two co-hosts. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
I'm Elizabeth Seaman.
Hi. And I am Gigi Chick.
They are both in the house today.
Yeah.
Which I'm super amped about. And we are triple teaming Mr. Mr. Kevin Ross, who is here live from Brio with his friend. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
Go ahead.
I'm Christine.
And I'm Kevin Ross.
From Brio, Kevin and Christine are going to chat all about being funny, which is what Kevin's default setting is, correct?
Yes, it is.
Hooray! So let's talk. I mean, I would love to explore both of your thoughts on when you decided that you are found out that you were sort of a naturally funny person.
Well, everybody laughs.
For me, I'd say at a really young age, I was always the family funny guy in the car.
You're like the class clown guy?
School, the funny. Yeah, whether you want to call it a coping skill, I use it as I think it's a healthy one, and I've always used it. I think having a good, silly perspective can make the situation okay.
A nice, lighthearted way to laugh away the pain. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, really. I think George Carlin said, he said a lot of things.
But yeah.
If you are not anything but entertained by life, you're missing the point. I think.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. My grandma always says better laughing than crying, so.
Yep.
That's a classic.
Yeah, she's just full of them. Old fart. It's actually her birthday today.
Aw, happy birthday, Liz's grandma.
She's 87. She doesn't know how podcasts work. Nice. It'll never hit, but you know, it's out there now.
Stay away from the Facebook, too, so.
Yeah, we were just talking about how she's afraid of Facebook.
Yeah. Which...
We gave her a phone.
Now, dialing in.
Right. Well, she wanted a smartphone so she can text, or as she calls it, faxing. And but when we got her the phone, she's like, "Don't put me on Facebook. Like, don't do it." Like, cause she's just like, I don't know about that Facebook. It's just like people
faxing.
People get in trouble on there. It's like, well, Grandma, you just don't post stuff that makes you sound like a dick, and you're fine. And she's just like, I don't know about that Facebook. All right, Grandma. No one's gonna make you Facebook.
Don't be
Deal.
A dick, Grandma.
Yeah, that's such a basic philosophy. Just if you stick with that.
I mean, you get what you put into it, right? Like, it's just like anything else. Like, if you put in, like, here's some pictures of kittens, evil. And, you know, like, for the most part, people will leave you alone. Occasionally, someone will try to start some shit with you over nothing, but for the most part.
No, she's convinced you're on there, and your life might just explode for no reason.
Well, Facebook is a big part of my life. I believe in Facebook. I think Facebook is actually my best friend.
Really?
No.
Do you find it a good outlet for being funny?
I'm completely mad. No. I think it's a tool for me to sometimes test my one-liners, because I found stories on there. It could be the best, funniest story in the world. I'm going to get 10 likes. If I do a really great one-liner, I'll get 70.
That's true. People don't like to read a lot. So, right. You know, it's a short and sweet that it's like, I actually read the whole thing. I can put my stamp of approval on it.
Yeah.
Right. If it's simple.
So, were you an only... I'm sorry. There's a lot of delay, so we're all just going to talk over each other. Sorry, go ahead. What were you saying?
I was just going to say my persona on Facebook and my jokes on Facebook are not even necessarily who I am or what I'm about, or necessarily jokes that I even bother telling on stage. If I get a group of people and I just am not doing anything with my real material, I'll go, okay, who wants a dead hooker joke? And I go, okay, we'll do dick jokes and dead hooker jokes. I'll do whatever I need to do.
See, you're the people my grandma warned me about on Facebook. They're out there. They're out there. They're going to get you.
And then we're on the internet.
I like that you have such a collection of jokes that you have, like, categories. Like, oh, well, we're just going to do the dead hooker ones now. Like, you guys aren't going
to
laugh.
Yeah, you go into the filing cabinet. Like, homeless people. What else I got in D?
Yeah, but Jess, you have to start. You've already started compiling, haven't you?
It's interesting you ask that because, like, I of all people am extremely organized, like hyper organized to a degree that it's probably a little obsessive. But what's funny is that I basically have like notes, like I have notes and notebooks and things, but like there's basically just this one notebook that's like a catch all for shit that I'll come back to. And I really do. I really need to like categorize it more by like, okay, here are relationship jokes. Here are, you know, here are fucking... Right.
Make an Excel sheet.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, I feel like that would be me.
I have those notebooks with shit written all over them. Nothing is categorized. I only categorize when I do my set list. Like,
yeah.
And I don't necessarily stick to the set list. I'm, you know, like, at least how it's ordered, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and that joke, and it's just, I can't do that. I gotta.
But at least you have them all in one place. And part of my problem is like, I've probably got like five notebooks floating around, and they each got like, this one has like 3 pages, the other one's got like 50 pages full, and the other one, well, I lost that one for a while, so I picked up over here, and I just need to keep track of my stuff.
Christine writes and directs her own shows, acts in them.
Cool. Oh, like sketch comedy stuff?
Murder Mystery.
Ooh, where do you perform those?
Well, we've done The Good Time 2. We've done The Train Through the Hakaya.
Yeah.
She did a nudist colony.
I can't.
What? Wait.
And we do the Oberlin Inn.
Oh, wow.
Over.
So, like, did you guys still wear costumes for the nudist colony, or was it just a lot of hair and makeup work?
Or no hair and makeup.
It depends on which hair you're talking about. Does everyone shave their pubes into a question mark? Like, who done it? The answer's on the inside of your butt cheeks. Like, you find out at the end of the show.
Oh, God.
It's under your boob. Like, it was me!
It's
nudist colonies always have really horrifying people.
Yes.
It just shouldn't be.
As I understand it, yes. It's almost like if your kink is seeing like really, really unattractive people in the nude, you should go to a nudist colony. If you're
to go to Walmart and see them nude.
Yes. Yeah. And like if you want to see good looking naked people, go online, but don't go to a nudist colony.
I think there's like an episode of Bob's Burgers, so they were like watching the nudist colony people, and they were all excited. They're like, "Yeah, there's a nudist colony," and then they're like, "Oh my god, everyone's old and weird."
Yeah, you're not gonna. Yeah, there's like 3 80-year-old sweaty men, and that's it.
Wow. I think the movie Eurotrip, there's a joke about that too.
Oh,
like they find the nudist colony and just a bunch of old.
I forgot about that movie.
Oh god, that's awful.
The gym, fat men. It scares me.
You know, okay, I don't know. Someone please enlighten me. We've had this conversation on this show before. What is the phenomena about, I think there's a certain age you hit, and it's not everybody, but like there's a certain age where like people just don't give a fuck at gyms anymore. Like you can walk into a locker room and some will just be like literally like full on, just throwing just down.
You've given up on life.
But they're at the gym, so they care a little. Right. Or they just Maybe they, they care about themselves. They just don't care about what other people think.
Right.
Because that's it.
They'll cut the fart in that elevator because they don't care.
Like, I envy like being in a mind space of like I don't care, but like I also would hope that I'm courteous. You know what I mean? Because I feel like you probably don't want to see this, right? Like I probably don't care, but I also care about you and your feelings and like.
I wouldn't scare the kids. I'd try to stay to myself and in a dark area. I'm just I'd not be seen as much, or build a sauna or whatever in my house, and not put the public. You know, force them to, you know, take a gander at this.
Exactly. Like, that should be a choice you get to make, right? Like, you don't just have to be subjected with, like, here's my dick. Like, it is.
Yeah, and then when you do, you end up with nudist colonies. And we just talked about the people who wear the hair soap.
Or you're paying $20 at that gym to have to pour it. It's bad enough. I mean, I've gotten to the point where I'm at the urinal. And a fart always seems to slip out now. Thing for me. And at first I tried to not let the other gentleman know.
You cough.
No, yeah. I don't care. I've gotten to where, fellas, this is the way it is. And then they get down the way and he doesn't care either. And then it's just us.
Hey, you're already there to let things evacuate from your nethers, so
true.
Just
that's a
like
good point.
Some comes out the back door too. I mean,
it doesn't make
supposed to be the place for it, right?
Right. It didn't make sense to me to try to like, oh, I'm going to be embarrassed in front of these guys. No, I don't think I got to worry.
Nah.
Nope.
Maybe it's just like it's like a power move.
Yeah, there you go.
Like say something. Do it
now. What are you going to do? Just farted on you. What are you going to do? Bring it. Hey, so speaking of not caring and public humiliation, when did you decide to start doing comedy? When did you decide to start exploring your funny side publicly?
I was living in Diamond Bar, California, Southern California, and Pasadena Ice House was right there, and a friend of mine, we kept going, and then there was like an open mic contest thing, and I won the first time out. So I thought,
oh, wow,
like anybody would, like, you're going to be on the Tonight Show next week. You're ready to go. Yes, I am Robin Williams. No, you're not. You're just fucking lucky. Shut the fuck up. Okay, that's what it was. And I proved it the next time out. But I did. I was lucky. But that was probably in 1990, and then I moved back to Cleveland in 91 and kept doing, I did comedy in Parma and at a place called It's Comedy. It's not there anymore.
It's no longer comedy.
Man, so you're coming up on like your 30-year anniversary.
Quiet,
please. For a comedy. No, that's dedication, man.
Kind of, but the thing is, I stopped in 95 when I got married and moved to Atlanta because apparently there's not a lot of money in it.
Who the funk? I don't know about anyone else. I'm making millions. Millions.
Well, I could have felt.
You see this old ass radiator? I clearly live in a place where I don't have to pay for heat. Oh, my millions.
I miss those things.
I just insulate my clothes with them.
Nothing more sexy than a powerful, beautiful woman.
Yeah, there you go.
In her pajamas. No.
I mean, his pajamas from the waist down.
Me too.
But, so I stopped, and then I got divorced about 7 years ago and
get some good material out of that.
But from here on out, I'm doing me. And I have a lot of every night about doing me a lot.
Which hand?
Ew.
I know it took a minute, but okay.
That's a slow burn.
So yeah, it's been a journey. I've gotten to work with some of my heroes. Luckily, the Funny Stop is my home club, and I get to, or I was getting to kind of pick and choose who I was opening for and whatever. Not so much. I haven't been there that much lately, but, and I was going to buy that place possibly, but I've definitely decided against that.
Who's the favorite person? You said you worked with some of your heroes. Who's your favorite person you got to work with?
Kevin.
Do a flex. Drop a name.
I worked with people that I admired more, but they were kind of assholes. Like Rich. He's got a podcast called Women Aren't Funny. His wife. His wife is Bonnie McFarlane. She's funnier than he is. She's blown up. He's old hat. So what, you wrote for the Oscars. But, I mean, gotten to work with some, like, famous people, and some of the ones that you would think would have huge egos are the most down-to-earth, nicest, go-out-of-their-way people you'll ever meet. And then there's people like, no, I shouldn't name names.
I mean, you can request just bleep.
I'll record scratch those out. Don't worry. Beep. We had someone accuse someone else of rape on the show last week, so I had to go through and edit that out. Yeah. Oops. Yeah.
That's fun, kid.
That was fun. Yeah.
I was afraid.
I missed that one.
For holding a date's hair, do you just hold her hair when she's throwing up in your car, or do you just ask?
I mean, it feels courteous to just...
I find it's best not to overthink it.
Try not to overthink it. You tell that to Louis C.K.
I feel like... there was no thought there whatsoever. Like, there was none. There's a balance between not thinking and thinking too much, and he was not walking...
Playing out a fantasy or something.
Yeah, yeah.
He asked everybody before he did it, like, hey, can I jack off? Like me, no way. Louis, I'm not going to let you do that.
That's what you told him.
Yeah.
Way to stand up for yourself.
Yeah, that was one of the people that you were surprised by there.
You didn't let him put that power move on you.
Yeah, that's good.
You just, like, fart in that bathroom and walk away.
Man, that's it.
You don't ask when you fart. Thank you, Louis. You just do it.
I'm a very powerful, powerful, independent farter.
Yeah.
I am, actually.
Oh, my God. Okay, so, like, let's kind of move back the timeline a little bit. So, you know, you mentioned doing comedy as a contest is sort of a fluke in California, but you said you've always kind of been an entertainer, even when you were young. Were you the oldest, the youngest, in the middle?
Middle.
Okay.
In the middle.
Oh, yeah. Those middle kids.
I just remember even in high school just having like a room full of my friends, like maybe the hockey team, whatever. And putting on like a one man doing whatever it took or an impression or whatever it took, like, do that shit again, do that again. And I would do it. And that's what makes me happy. That's what makes me the happiest. And the comedy community is the only place I've ever felt like I fit in.
Good.
I feel like Cleveland in general has a pretty like welcoming, like, no, camaraderie, kind of.
No, I'm kidding.
Except for you!
Yeah, I mean...
We're all sorry, you're not invited!
It has its moments, for sure. I think every group or clique,
yeah.
It has its pros and cons. This is going to be our most heavily edited episode to date, where I'm just going to be like, beep, beep!
Oh, that's going to go direct. No, scratch that. Because really I have found that in this business anything usually comes your way, it's because you worked for it and you deserved it. So I'm not counting on anybody to help me around anything I've done. I pretty much had to do it myself.
Yeah, for sure.
And the best revenge you get if you think somebody's whatever is to be funnier than them. Really?
Yeah.
That's true.
My favorite saying that I just learned recently is the best revenge is good living. Like, just focusing on your own track, focusing on what makes you happy and better and all that sort of shit. Because I think anytime there's even a slight trace of like, I'm going to show this person in your mind, I don't know, there's something about it that ends up becoming, when it's not for you, it's not as, there's not as much quality to what you're doing. You know what I mean?
Well, you're wise beyond your age. Because it took me a long time to figure that out.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to figure a lot of things out, but I'm starting to get it now.
Good.
Yeah, as long as you're appreciating it now, like, that means, you know, it happened.
Exactly.
Later's better than never.
Exactly.
Don't ever say that again.
All right.
Better than never. Better like. If you say that again, I'll stab you in the
pocket. Whoa, this just took a turn. Dear. This escalated very quickly.
My younger comics will come up to me and say, well, it's better late than never.
Why? Why would they say that? That's so rude.
No, or giving unsolicited advice is another bad move to do.
I can usually take that with, like, a grain of salt. Like, probably because I'm still new, so I'm okay with it, but I can't imagine trying to do that to somebody who's been doing it way longer than me.
Well,
it seems inappropriate.
In anything, unsolicited advice usually falls on deaf ears.
Yeah.
It just is how it goes. So, my thing with comedy now, because I think that there's different phases that you go through the more you do it, and I'm not jealous or when I see this person getting this show or they just got booked for that or why aren't I? I did that maybe a few years ago, but now I'm really happy for them and I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to be doing whatever show I'm doing.
That sounds like a good attitude.
Did you ever have a time where you kind of thought maybe you would make comedy like a career of it? Like you would just, that would be all you do?
Oh, no. And that's why I'm kind of semi-retired. My house is paid for so that I can. And if it does work out to where I make $50,000-$60,000 a year, that's a lot of money in comedy. And I know veterans like that been road comics or ever and they're doing okay, but like $80,000 and they are on the road constantly doing cruise ships and they're not youngsters. They're, you know, they're in their 60s and still doing it.
As long as are they happy doing it?
I think that like a few of them, yeah, but some of them not. I mean, they're just, it's tough out there. Like, you'll miss your flight. They lost your luggage. And you don't always have a great cruise or whatever. And it can get... It's old sometimes, I guess.
That sounds exhausting.
On stomachs, like, you can just smell it on them. Mm-hmm. And you're not happy. I don't give a shit. Take me on the road. Yep.
You're happy and you know what to
do. We need like dance breaks. Dance break. Just do a dance break. Yeah, dance break in the middle of the podcast. Just like dance break. So do you have a, what do you find, you know, because I think for me, the things I find funny, like sometimes I feel like people kind of try to tell jokes about stuff that they don't even think themselves are funny, if that makes any sense. Like they try to wade into these waters and you just feel like they're really talking about something that they don't understand.
They heard it or they thought that premise, they heard it somewhere or they thought that premise would be funny, but it's not a, when you see comics and they're doing really well right off the bat, like I saw you when you first did Dave Swenson's thing.
Yep.
You really stood out because you were more natural, at least, than a lot of the other, because it's hard to sound natural, believe it. It just is.
Yeah.
And to have your own voice and to be comfortable enough to be thinking at the time telling those jokes and I don't know. It's just, it's always, it's exciting to go up there, the rush that you get before and after. And there's nothing I would rather point my energy to at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, I think the reason I probably stood out is because I had waist-length blue hair as well, so it's hard not to stand out.
Looked like the cookie, like Grover.
I looked like a Cookie Monster's sexy Grover. Older sister, or cool aunt. But
you had a good support, and you still have a lot of people that support you and what you're doing, and I think it's great. Like, you know what I just found out? Like, the Avenue Tap House, that show, that was fun. But, you know, the owner, I think his name's, the owner of that place is part owner of West Park Station, where I work, too.
Oh. And
I've been in meetings with them. They want me to do a show at West Park, but I'm not doing it because it's going to be a shit show.
If Avenue Tap House was any indication about how they like their shows run.
If your kink...
It's a bulletproof glass for your...
If your kink is getting shot glasses and batteries thrown at you, then yes, you should totally do a show at West Park.
Sounds welcoming.
I like how she's like, what the fuck kind of showcase was this shit? Yeah. It was instead of a murder mystery, it was like almost just a murder all the time.
And you could see who done it.
Well, customize it. Like the nudist colony, we did a gangster one.
A gangster nudist.
Oh, cool. Gangster nudist. That's the scariest thing I think I've ever heard of, is gangster nudist.
Where do they keep their gun?
Right.
That's what's scary. What, do they just buff it the whole time?
Buff it. I have never heard that before.
I'm right. When they keep it in your butt.
Yes, I figured that. I just have never actually heard buff it.
Yeah, you buffed it. Put it in your butt.
I actually used to perform in a murder mystery company with some fellow comedians that I actually met through Kevin. Well, I worked with one of them. Yeah, Christine and Phil Kanzi. They did one. And I did probably 4 or 5 shows with them, and it's fun. It is really fun because I'd never actually attended one before, so I've only ever performed in them.
Well, we play off the audience. That's where there's comedy in it as well, because we play off the audience.
Absolutely. And that was scary for me just because I had done stand-up, but I had never done improv, so I had no idea how to just like riff. That was like really terrifying.
I love doing that. That's why I do voiceover, whatever you want to call it, for iHeart. I pretend to be those people on those wacky doodle blends or pranks. I played a sugar daddy a bunch of times.
Funny.
I'm getting typecast.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. I always got typecast as like I had to wear like I basically was like Jessica Rabbit in every single one of these, where I was like the femme fatale and like. Had to talk in a voice like this and like just that kind of thing. So I totally get that. I get that for sure.
I have gravelly kind of, and I can do, how you doing, all everybody? Is everybody doing?
You have a great voice. You have an amazing voice.
Yeah, your voice is so unique. It's really awesome.
Thank you.
You have like a unique voice, but then you also have like a Jeff Goldblum kind of energy.
Yes.
So it's like, I feel like you go all
like,
over.
I want to record you like reading my favorite like books or something. Like
favorite, like make a whole list of tweets or something for him to record. Like your favorite like Twitter burns.
Then like you can literally just be like our Cleveland's Jeff Goldblum. Like we'll just have a video series of like Kevin Ross, and then
that would be amazing.
Copyright. I'm like,
let's copyright right now. Buy that.
Ross Bloom.
Ross Bloom?
Gold Ross.
Ross Bloom. Jeff Gold Ross. We're gonna put you on retainer, and we're just going to have you do like 10 episodes where you read literature.
Oh, my God. You know what would be so funny? What? If he recorded like really popular like children's books. And did it on audio, that would sell with adults so hard.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So many people would buy that.
Good night, Moon!
Yeah.
Hello.
Seriously, it would be so amazing. Oh, my God. I would buy all of them.
Oh, my God. All right.
And I don't even have a kid. I would just, like, let my dogs listen to them.
You'd be killing for dogs.
Yeah, this episode will never air now. Like, we're just going to have to cut too much.
Well, they're going to steal our idea.
I know. I was thinking that too. I'm like, well, we got to bleep the idea part out, or we at least got to patent it before this episode airs.
Yeah.
This is going in the archives. Geraldo Rivera will have to dig this one up in a special years from now.
It's true.
TMZ.
TMZ. World star. Are you in Cleveland proper, or are you in the Akron area, Kevin?
I grew up and live in Bay Village.
Oh, okay.
But I call the Funny Stop my home club because Pete has pretty much really taken me under his wing. He's given me more help. And I mean, at the time, and a lot of times I think that he comes off as an asshole and really gruff and hard.
He's colorful.
He heckled me in the beginning. And he still does being nice. But when
he heckled you
with those y'all, you're like, I can't get him back, can I? Can I call him a terrorist? Can I say he looks like he could be an ISIS? Can I say I'm here? All I understood was fuck you. No, I do that now.
Yeah.
Like he not to really start too much, but I give it back to him and he doesn't like a lot of times what happens.
You can always swear in a different language. Feck off.
Feck off.
There you go. Ooh, that's right. Give him good feck. Good fecking.
Feck.
That's my favorite activity.
Feck. A little fecker, that guy.
Did I mention him?
Make sure to include that when you're reading the literature, the fecker.
And it's fun for the whole family.
Yeah.
No, Pete is
the
a very...
itsy feckin' spider.
Oh, God. No, Pete's a colorful-ass character. We've talked about him a few times on this show. He's the owner of the Funny Stop down in Akron. And, no, and that's the thing, though. Like, people, I think... What I find so ironic is funny people who are legitimately funny are also the ones, I think, for the most part, that can laugh at themselves, that they have a very good, they're humble. And those are the same people who are just like, it's Pete, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Because Pete's, he's fucking Pete, and like, you know, he can make you feel this big. But number one, factor in that English isn't his first language. So him to be like, you are very bad.
He has
like,
no
he doesn't know anything else, but like, you are very bad. He doesn't have a vocabulary set up.
He's more successful than you.
Yeah.
He moved to another country. You learned another language, opened a business, has celebrity comics come through. Like, I mean.
That's when I know you're not going to stick around as a comedian when you're like, fuck Pete, he's a prick. He doesn't know shit. And it's like, well.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's the most, like, diplomatic fella.
Yeah.
No,
but...
but he, in his own way, and I'll be honest, Pauly Shore is there this weekend, and Pauly and a lot of people just find him so odd and so, like, refreshing because he's so weird.
Yeah, he's an interesting trait.
From coast to coast, and that club is now. But it's... He has shown me, like, I gave up my, I started an open mic at the TikTok. I gave that to Steve Murs because.
I didn't know you started that.
Yeah. I think that's
stories.
The right person, too, because Steve Dunn has kept it going for years.
Steve's great. He does a great job.
I decided to dedicate my time instead of that. I started just going to the Funny Stop all the time and having a real audience, not a bunch of you could have written the best joke in the world, you'll never know it at an open mic ever. So I recommend, if you're new and you're serious, do a club, and that's the only club really that you're gonna consistently
if you're new, that's the only club you're gonna get into.
So
they're amateur nights,
you gotta drive, but really that's and my mojo gets fucked with at those open mics because I just wrote it, whatever, and I have gotten, you know, I'm used to doing pretty well, and jack shit, everybody's on their phones drinking. Why did I even fucking bother to do this to myself?
Yeah, everyone's just waiting to do their set.
Because it's It's the gym. You go there and you work out your shit.
You got to know, are you working on your time? Are you working on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and what's the thing that I find hardest about open mics is realizing that your audience... I'm going to wait for you to get settled. I don't want to talk over you.
No. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, wait. I'm high right now. And literally, I was like, oh my God, he's just going to leave her at the restaurant. He's leaving right now. He's running out of the
car. He's like, get to the car!
I was like, oh my God, it's happening right now.
Look, we're watching it!
I double booked. This is the first date.
Is this okay? Are you okay?
I'm sorry. So fucking
do you need
high.
Help? Should we set up a safe word?
The safe word is... The safe word is... Help! No.
Yeah. Get me the fuck out of here!
That's always a staple. Just yelling help.
My sister works at Crocker. Maybe I'll see if she's there.
This is the best sacrifice anyone's ever made to be on my show right now. The fact that, like, you didn't just cancel. You just went with it.
I did. I don't give a...
Wait a yes and.
First dates. If I even had a this woman, it's over now.
I don't know. She seems to be having a good time.
All right. All right. Quick. Here's the game plan. Everybody talk about how Kevin is a known, well-endowed comedian who has given tens of thousands of dollars to charity and also has adopted several animals, homeless animals, and...
A poor...
Lots of money to orphanages.
He's only poor because of all the money he's donated to orphanages.
Volunteer a lot.
Yeah.
The only reason he's poor is because he's given it...
And that's when he's not, like... He's not playing catch with orphans.
Yes.
Look, and really, beside Milton Berle, my penis is the biggest thing in comedy.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Just like Don Rickles, they call it Mr. Warmth. I don't know. I'm just making shit up now.
Milton Berle is known for his cock size. He just known for having...
I did not know that about him, but I can't unknow it. Now
I feel like I heard that. I actually feel like I heard that and Telly Savalas had a really big dick.
Yeah, it's legendary.
Yeah.
And just they call mine the shillelagh.
Ooh. And like,
just on St. Patty's Day.
It's large and black and shiny.
No, but that was
real long.
Yeah, the BBC. No, that's British radio.
Yes, BBC One. Hey,
Listen, she's getting ready to leave. I do have to. Can I just come right back, or should I?
Yes. We can wait. I'll pause it.
Yeah.
Okay. Come right back.
Oh, okay. No, she's not leaving.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, my phone is literally about to die.
Oh, no, you have to go, Cheech.
I might. I'm about to bounce.
All right, sorry, Cheech.
So sorry. Bye. I didn't realize it was that low.
Oh, it's okay.
Bye. I love you.
Do you remember when I got up and I said, now I know why you are you okay. Now I know why you wear your makeup like you do to my daughter.
Yes.
To this day, I still find that hilarious.
Yeah.
She was saying wear the or whatever with a certain way with their makeup. And I noticed that my daughter always has her eye makeup that way. And no, I just tease her.
No, so I think my joke was like, is there such a thing that people talk about being flaming gay? And I was like, is there such a thing as a flaming bisexual? And I'm like, I think it's someone who wears a lot of winged eyeliner and changes her hair color a lot. And then Kevin went up on stage and he was like, and Kevin went up stage and he's like, well, thanks, Jess. Now I know why my daughter wears her eye makeup like that. And then I was like, oh, no.
Well, you just came out. You had his daughter come out to him. Nice.
I outed her. Well,
no,
supposed to be special.
Now, I don't. I think she probably is bisexual. I don't really care. We're gonna love her anyway. My dogs are bisexual. They are extremely bisexual, and they're exhibitionists.
Yeah.
No, really. They.
There's one of those. They hump everything.
Yep. Oh yeah. And it gets really...
I mean, what kinds of things... I think we're getting a feel for it, but we were talking a little bit earlier about when people try to do jokes about things that they don't find funny. I mean, what shit do you find funny?
I lean really towards blue and usually sexual stuff because it's people respond well to that topic. Okay. And
it's attention grabbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like the topic. It's always been very, very interesting to me.
Yeah.
In college. I was a cunnilingologist.
Oh God. Linguist.
Oh, is that your major?
Well, I'm a professor now.
Cunnilinguistics.
PhD. Yeah, well,
cunnilingology is what we're talking about, ladies.
PhD's got a pretty hard.
So I mean, like, do you? You said you lean blue. I mean, do you try to make? Because okay, here's the thing. Funny Stop, I find, has to be one of the hardest places in the world to tell jokes because you really don't know what you're gonna get as far as an audience, as far as political.
Yeah, because you got to look at them. I got to go out there. And actually, even I sometimes mingle before the show. I'll talk to people.
Okay.
And that way you actually have ammo.
That's true.
You know who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
So I'll give my jokes to that. Jail jokes. I've been to jail. So they, like doing that in Caucasian Falls, my jail jokes are going to fall flat. They're not going to work. They're like, been to jail. What's it like? Do they really take your shoes? No, Billy. No.
That's the laces.
But yeah, like one of my favorite jokes is I did so much time in jail. When I got out, all I wanted to do was get a blowjob from my wife. So I got home and I got the blowjob, but I messed it up because I zipped up and I said, "Thanks, Holmes."
Oh my God. Oh.
Oh God.
So I mean, so do you, it sounds though like for the most part you kind of avoid politics overall.
Oh, 100%. Okay. Although I did do that show for the Ohio Democratic Party.
Really?
But that was for someone that I used to date and she lives in Stowe. We did it at the Funny Stop and that turned out to be, I'm just never gonna, let's just skip that topic.
Okay. Yeah. That's totally.
It's good to know the things. It's like those things, you know, you don't want to touch, and then you don't even try, and it's just probably for the better.
Yeah.
Some people won't let topics go, and they should.
Well, you better really be super duper 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 funny about it, because you're gonna lose audience members. And personally, I'm not that good. I don't want to lose anybody.
Yeah.
I'm good. I don't want to lose one person. So for people to go out and be daring and want to be Jimmy Fallon, good luck.
Yeah. But
you're not Jimmy Fallon and you're doing a topic that really is going to alienate you.
Well, and I just think what I find fascinating about the Funny Stop in a lot of ways is that is a really good, it's almost like a teaching hospital, except it's like a teaching comedy club. You know what I mean? Because
it is.
You're working at a level as far as, like, if you do decide to go in any route and any angle that could potentially even lead to politics. I mean, when you go to New York, you know what the crowd is. When you go to LA, you know what the crowd is. When you go to Chicago, you know what the crowd is. But honestly, I could never sit there and say, like, the Funny Stop crowd is exclusively conservative, because that's just not true. Like, there's just a lot of people in there that are from, you know, Akron proper, they're from Cleveland proper, they spent their whole lives there, they're very liberal.
You never know, it's a mixed bag. It really is, because it depends on who the headliner. You might have an all black audience, I don't know. And then you do, I've had headliners asking me for regional jokes. Oh, you're getting paid a lot of money to do this.
Do your
shit.
Research. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do your
right shit for you.
Yeah.
Have you, out of curiosity, this is something that, because I think you were talking earlier about how, like, some of the bigger names are actually really cool, like, down-to-earth people, right. And you wouldn't expect that. And something else I have heard a lot of are, like, not the big names, but, like, people who are well-known enough that they're headlining sort of thing. And again, we won't, like, name specific names, but an anecdote I've heard a lot is people who are on that sort of, like middle level between, like, unknowns and, you know, like, crazy legends. Right. Are often the the douchiest. And I think, like, I don't know if that's because, like, they stay in the middle and they never escalate up because of the fact that they suck so hard. But the one example that I hear a lot coming from, I guess, like, that sort of that caliber, that level, is that they will actually, and I think headliner, like, big people will do this too, but they will actually talk to their opening acts and say, here's a list of topics you can't make jokes about. I don't know if you've ever had that.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah. I used to get that a lot. Really? I mean, disgruntled clown, you can't talk about clowns and you can't do jokes about clowns. And I got a clown joke.
Oh, no.
Yep. Although I did, I think it's stupid. Never mind. I did the joke once. It was a country club show. And I got told that I shouldn't have used the word dyke, that the joke was funny, but don't use the word dyke. And I said, but I have to. It's part of the joke. The joke is that it's a lesbian that I knew was in the Ku Klux Klan in Georgia, and her dream was to have an ice cream bar. And she was going to call it the Klandyke Bar. Okay.
I heard one very similar. Yes, that was one of my favorite jokes to tell, actually, growing up.
I know. I'd go down on you for a Klandyke Bar.
There it is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, but, like, so it sounds like you have encountered that, where you can't make jokes about, not just necessarily material restriction, but, like, someone's been like, no, I'm making jokes about these topics, so you can't talk about
it. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Because one of yours is better than mine.
Well, I won't say names. You know, a lot of times it's these ex-sitcom stars that were big. The last thing they actually did was in 1973. Oh. So they're not very relevant, but they think they're from Hollywood and they're douchey. I don't usually West Coast. I lean, all the relationships I have are with New York comics. And the ones that I have, I can make a call right now and I can book them. It's just, we got to make sure they get paid.
Yeah, it's half the battle.
Bob.
Or 75%.
Yeah, I'm trying to get him booked right now because he was on the road with Artie Lang and Artie Lang went to prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get him booked a couple shows, East Side, West Side, Saturday and Sunday in Cleveland.
That is one occupational hazard, is when you're booking comedians, a lot of times there's jail or rehab or dead.
Well, picked up somebody up at downtown at the jail and brought him to Panini's to headline for me. And but he's one of my favorite people, but he may or may not have a unhealthy relationship with alcohol.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It's not
who's
much
to say?
Right. Who's to say?
He's a good guy and he's helped me in comedy. There's not many people that have helped me and he's one of them.
Good. That's awesome.
Gave me some have take you on the road, some won't.
So I guess to sort of wrap it all up in a nice little package, like,
let's say big. Because,
big package, giant,
one massive,
giant
package.
Throbbing package,
like almost too big.
Yeah,
perfect.
It's been compared to Milton Berle, as I understand it.
Yeah,
everybody knows.
Yeah, so I mean, like, ultimately, like, how? I mean, do you just kind of see what, like, doing this comedy thing? I mean, does that seem like until you can't, you know, literally stand up to do stand up anymore?
Or that I would never stop again. And me and, I don't, you know Rob Telecki.
Yeah.
We started comedy kind of at the same time. And he's been probably my closest friend that I've known the longest and stayed friends, like, over 30 years. Mm-hmm. So, I'm never going to stop. He said he would never stop again either. And it's just, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And really, I'm happiest and feel most alive on stage telling jokes.
That's amazing. Yeah. I love that. I love to hear that. And that's inspiring, too, because I think there are people in their fucking early 20s that's like, fuck this shit, and they get jaded on it. And, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Of all times in your life, you should be optimistic. So, and LA has made me a big, big soft baby teddy bear because everybody's idealistic out here and everybody's super romantic. So it makes me happy.
Oh, I know. I lived in LA for the 80s. I know.
I should have fun with it. I know it's hard sometimes. Like, you have bad days, but like overall.
I don't know how you can't just slip on all the Botox going on there. I just.
Well, it rains a little. Rehydrates it.
And I.
This is all the accidents.
He's doing a podcast on the Comedy Store now.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know, but it's called the Tuskegee something.
So oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. That's, yeah, okay, yeah.
I was just going to go like, yeah, fuck Whitey. And then he was like, forget it. You're not Tuskegee.
You're not Tuskegee. That would be a setback, I imagine. Hey, do you have anything you want to promote as far as social media or upcoming things?
Really, right now, nothing that I'm going to promote, but social media, Kevin Ross Comedy. At hotmail.com for bookings, or if you want to do your own show. I also produce my own show. So country club, private events. Those are really lately. Depends on you if you want famous people or smoke. You know, I can do it.
Awesome. Is there anything your friend wants to promote?
I'm a drummer and bagpiper in a pipe band.
She bagpipes.
That's so cool.
And it's in Parma. And
what's it called?
It's a band dance. A pipe band dance. Bagpipes and drums. And it's going to be on April 13th. And it's in Hummel Road and it's Cleveland.
Oh, I know where that is.
It's okay. In that's like a UFW hall or something.
A VFW hall. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's over, but like West 130th or something in the Hummel. And...
Got it.
So grab your bagpipes and come on down.
It's amazing. No, you have to go check it out. April 13th, Christine. Thank you so much for being on the show today. We really enjoyed meeting you.
Yeah.
And Kevin.
No, thank you for sharing.
Thank you for coming and being on the show today and making this effort more the best effort.
Cleveland's Jeff Goldblum.
Cleveland's Jeff
Goldblum. Look for his children books coming out soon.
Ross Jeff Bloom.
Beware of going to the bathroom with him. He might mark his territory with some gas.
Elizabeth, do you have any social media you want to promote?
We do. Let's Google it. Okay, I don't know. Google maybe it. Instagram. I posted one Instagram picture.
Oh, shit. Everybody jump on Elizabeth.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Right
it's been like months and I did it.
Oh,
so.
Shit. All right. Well, we're going to wrap this shit up. Thank you guys so much
Welcome
for being
world.
Here. Have a wonderful week. Okay, love you. Bye.